Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Elise Glink, filling in for Steve Bertrand. We have in the studio right now Andrea Haines. She's editor of Blue Sky Innovation. Andrea, you walked through the Pedway, so of course you're not.
I did. I missed it. I missed all the weather.
The whole. Please, it's the beginning of winter. We had summer this week and winter. It's like a typical fall in Chicago, right?
Yeah, crazy day to day, right?
Oh, it is crazy. Anyway, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, good to see you.
It's good to see you as well. So MBA applications, you guys wrote about that this week. They seem to be down. You know, why?
Yeah, so there's two main reasons. One is the economy is doing pretty well. So students who might graduate feel like maybe I can't find a job. I better go to graduate school. They're finding jobs. So they're not necessarily doing that. And another big thing that, you know, seems to be growing is international students are staying home, which is concerning for the longer term if they feel like they're not welcome here.
Yeah, they aren't welcome. And they're hard to it's getting really hard to get visas even for school, I think. And then, of course, if you want to stick around and do an internship in between your summer, which is a very popular thing for business school, hard to get that, too. Yeah. Okay. So that's not so good. What about Facebook? So they're facing a whole bunch of trouble this week. What's going on with them?
Yeah. So Facebook, is in the news pretty much every day. And right now they're giving a news conference to tell us some more about the massive breach that they had, the privacy breach that we talked about a week or so ago.
All right. I just have to ask, the people I suspect who really got hit are the ones who are always filling out those. What kind of a fruit would you be? And what kind of
quizzes are bad news? Don't do the quiz. I feel like they might as well just say, like, what's your password, right? Because they will ask you, what's your hometown? What's your favorite color? What's your pet's name? Like, all the things that people might use as password fodder.
Absolutely.
So not the best idea. So anyway, Facebook is going to be trying to clean that up. But at the same time, they've introduced a portal, it's called, which is a little weird name in and of itself. But it's a video chat camera of the kind we're getting familiar with from different vendors. So this one is, it sounds pretty cool. It's $200. It's the first piece of consumer hardware from Facebook. Idea is you put it in your house, you use it for chatting. But how comfortable are we with Facebook having a speaker / video camera in our living rooms?
Okay, so let's talk about this for a minute, because I think every laptop that every millennial uses has a camera built right in. Why do we need to stick a separate one on top for $200? Does it come with a light? Does it make me look 20 years younger?
I would love that.
How about 20 pounds thinner?
I put duct tape over the little eye on my computer.
Right.
It works just fine for solving every problem with how you look on it. So I think that, we ran a story from a reviewer from the Washington Post who had used one, like got a mm-hmm. chance to use one in advance. And they said they felt like it was a really nice upgrade to like a Skype or FaceTime type of experience. It kind of follows you. It has extra features, and it's designed to create, as would be befitting of Facebook, a little more intimacy. So you can have it on in your kitchen. It will follow you as you move. So you're not just necessarily sitting there FaceTiming into the eye of your computer, but you're able to have a more kind of dynamic environment in your house where you could imagine, grandma wants to be in the kitchen with you while you make cookies with the grandkids. Like it provides that more intimate setting and has features that allow that to work so that, again, you're not just stationed in front of it.
So I'm reminded of when Google introduced its first phone, right? Didn't work out so great.
Yeah.
So what do we think? This is one of those things where you want to buy the third edition of this or the fourth?
Yeah, could be. Some of those moves into hardware, as you say, just like don't necessarily pan out even when it's a big name.
Good luck
I would
to
agree.
Them.
This sounds cool, but I think the privacy piece is possibly a really big hurdle, because Pew has reported that 75% of Facebook users in the U.S. have like throttled back in the last year. They've either taken a break entirely from using
it. I have.
I have done that. I've also, what other people have done, deleted the app from their phone
mm-hmm.
just so that you don't have it, kind of on you all the time, or adjusted their privacy settings. So people are a little nervous, I think.
Yeah, I think they are, and I don't blame them at all. It's interesting. I know for my kids who are 20 and 23, we use Facebook Messenger because they like the messaging app. They absolutely don't use Facebook at all.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. But they do use Snapchat. So I guess they're getting our data any way we look at it.
That's
it's
true.
Just the interface you choose. You know what I would like? I'd like an Instagram-like effect for video. So if I wanted to have a pink hat or make myself look thinner or bigger, more beautiful or whatever it is, blonder hair, purple hair, Halloween hair, I could just sort of instantly put that filter on and it would do it.
So, yeah, and the portal is offering some features like that, some of those, Snapchat-type you know, things to kind of make it more festive feeling.
All right. Well, we now know what people are going to be sticking in their stockings in another two. I hate to say it, although it's snowing.
Holiday gift, right?
Holidays coming up. Okay. And then finally, Kraft Heinz, you wrote that they're starting a food technology VC fund with $100 million, which given that SoftBank is throwing hundreds of billions of dollars at things, that doesn't seem like much money, but it's still $100 million, right?
Yeah, is that even, you know, I guess if you're a startup, that might feel like a nice prize to compete for a piece of, right? Even a little piece of that could help you if you're just starting out. So this is called Evolve Ventures, and they will invest in food technology companies, and Kraft, of course, is based here in Chicago. So it'll be interesting to see where they take that effort.
Yeah, there are definitely some cool new food things coming up. We all have to eat, and we all have to eat snacks. So they all seem to be, you know, focused in that snack arena.
That's true.
It's not so bad, right? Andrea, thank you so much for being with us today. Nice to see you again. Welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Steve Bertrand. He's back on Monday, I think, and I shall be heading off to Toronto for the next installment of whatever I'm doing with Best Money Moves and thinklink.com. We have joining us now Tom Gimbel. He's CEO at LaSalle Network. It's nice to have you back, Tom.
Oh, good to talk to you.
So it's funny. You'd think that in an era of the lowest unemployment in maybe, I don't know, 60-something years, that there wouldn't be any workaholic bosses because they'd be so afraid of annoying their employees, and they would leave and try to find a new job, and then they'd have to replace them. And yet, workaholic bosses seems to be still a problem, right?
Well, it's something that comes up, and in this day and age with social media and so much self-created content, I think you have to realize that some of it's being written about just to write about. And if there isn't something to talk about, then sometimes we make things to talk about. However, there's always going to be a case. You're not going to have the unprecedented corporate growth that we have right now without having leaders that are going 24/7. So that does exist.
All right, so the bosses are workaholic, but what are they doing to employees, and how do employees sort of discuss that with them? And I was going to say fight back, but it's not really about fighting. It's about finding a happy middle ground where, you know, employees are being super productive and employers are helping them get there.
Yeah, the real challenge becomes, what does the employee want out of their career and their job? And a lot of time it's just self-realization of saying, I want to go and get promoted and make as much money as I can, as fast as I can. And that's usually the key qualifiers for a workaholic. Why do they work so much? They want to be promoted, they want to be recognized, they want to make money. I mean, those are the drivers. If those things didn't exist, you wouldn't work as much as you do. And on the flip side, if those things aren't your drivers, you have to ask yourself, is this the right job for you? And then you figure out of how that fits in. But a lot of times, it's really it's not much about the personalities of the people as it is what your own career goals are.
Do you find that sort of people who are just entering the workforce, so our new group of college graduates, for example, do you feel that they are in that mindset, that they have figured out enough about what the right incentives are to be that motivated? Or do you feel like there's more, that this generation of millennials, the younger generation moving into Gen Z, they're a little bit more balanced in terms of what they want and expect to get out of work?
I think the big challenge for this generation, whether it's millennials or Z or what have you, is because of social media, everybody feels they're 2 degrees away from somebody who's really made it big. And they don't always know what went into the people that made it big, and they think sometimes that it should be a little bit easier. Or they see their parents or older siblings or aunts or uncles or what have you that have more work-life balance. And we live in this world where, because it's so readily accessible to see, that we think, why shouldn't I have that now? And it used to be that people would work really hard, and they'd realize if they were good at something. If they were good at something, the money would come. Now they sit there and say, do I like it, before they work hard? And that's kind of, it's a little bit upside down of the paradox. So I think it's really trying to find a job that'll make you interesting. But what I see more than anything else is that this generation wants transparency, and they don't mind working a ton if they know their boss is working a ton. The big disconnect is when people are driving their employees, but they're out on the golf course, or they're out on the lake boating, or they're taking time off to be with their families and coach sports, but they've got these young kids grinding it out. That's where the disconnect really exists.
So that's sort of interesting, right? Because social media feeds into that as well. You're seeing, you're posting pictures, especially if, you know, you're, honestly, if you're a baby boomer, you're, you know, and even the older Gen X's, you're on Facebook and you are posting pictures of your boat or your golf game or your this, your that. I'm not sure if you're trying to stay relevant to your younger employees or not, but younger employees are certainly savvy enough to find all that stuff online and resent it, maybe?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I think a little bit. It, you know, what used to happen is, you know, you get to be a certain age and you figured out how to play the system a little bit and hide. I mean, that's kind of stereotypically what would happen. And in this day and age, people can't hide. And we've gotten to this point, whether you're 55, 35, or 25, that because of social media, people want everybody to know, or at least their friends to know, what they're doing. And they forget that they've connected to people in the workforce. And then they see it. And so, you know, it's the same thing in reverse. If somebody's sick on at work during the week, but then they're connected to their boss on social media and they see that they're out partying or tailgating on Saturday for the football game, the boss is like, wait a second, you couldn't come into work, but now you're doing that? Everybody's in this judgmental observation phase of society. And I think it's just taking time for people to figure out what's okay and what's not okay.
Right. So the only thing we can say is okay is get your job on time, put in your 8 hours, and then probably try to stay off your phone. Yes?
I'd say that, and I'd add one more thing, Elise, that I think is really important is figure out what you want to accomplish in your career as early as you can, meaning promotion and money, and realize that if you're putting in the work, you'll get those results. If you don't want to put in more work, you might not get those results as fast as you can.
Tom Gimbel, always great advice. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Elise Gling from Best Money Moves, sitting in for Steve today. He'll be back on Monday. You might want to connect with me on LinkedIn, Twitter, or Instagram, since we're talking all about social today, and it seems to just be buzzwords. Maybe there'll be a picture of me walking through the snowstorm back to... That was a dreadful forecast. Oh my goodness, when do we get the summer weather again? Anyway, Steve Levine, future editor at Axios, joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Steve, welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thanks very much.
It's nice to have you here. So, tell me, what do you see going into? Oh, I don't know, the social turbulence of America. Where are you guys watching today?
Well, we are kind of stepping back and taking a long look at what's going on, what we're seeing in the U.S. and really across the whole West, U.S. and Europe, and everything looks like it's in turmoil. Right, so you've got Brexit. You've got Poland and Hungary and the United States, and it looks like one big storm going on. This uprising against the establishment institutions, establishment leaders. But what we've come to is actually there are three storms going on at the same time. They're independent storms against revolts against immigrants, anti-globalization, and against establishment leaders. And the reason that it seems so powerful and that our institutions seem to be coming down and people are very angry is that it is three storms, the punch of three storms acting at the same time. And that's why everything is coming loose.
All right. So it feels like things are coming loose. And I think all of us, you know, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, you know, you look at the news and it's just there's some troubling things going on. So when you and I like how you've categorized it into these three larger things, right, because everything can either find its way underneath immigrants or anti-globalization or, you know, anti-establishment leaders or against the establishment leaders. When you look at sort of the global manifestations of that, are there hot spots that we should be watching for? Are there triggers that you see already happening that are putting into motion, you know, a world order that could look very similar to the 30s and 40s versus maybe the 70s and 80s?
Definitely, the storms themselves look like the 20s and the 30s, especially, and that means in those years, much of Europe were dictatorships, or either dictatorships or authoritarian countries. Only the far west of Europe, meaning England and the north of Europe, were democracies, and populism was everywhere, and nationalism and this very virulent anti-migrant, anti-other, right? It's us against
everyone
else.
It's not me, right?
Yes. So that does resemble now. But what is uncertain is we don't know what this leads to. Now, back then, it led to World War II. This time, we don't have an identifiable Mussolini. We don't have an identifiable Hitler bent on war. So it's not clear where we're going, but what is clear is that these storms that we're seeing are not tied to President Trump or Brexit or any of those leaders. They're independent forces is what they look like, and these individuals and the elections are symptoms of those, and because of that, it looks like they're going to go on for a very long time, and by that I mean decades perhaps. And it's not clear, actually, and just directly answering your question, it's not clear where that ends up. The picture of what that looks like is not clear at all.
Right. So when we look out, and you know, I've heard it said that we have been in a very basically quiet worldwide picture for a long time. We've seen some aggressions from Russia into Crimea. We've seen some instability into the way Europe is being run, or Africa, parts of Indonesia, not Indonesia, the country, but Indonesia, the sort of larger, the geographic area of Southeast Asia. And yet, you know, you hear people describe this who are far more knowledgeable than I am, as being a relatively quiet period of decades since we've had a major war, world war. And yet, you know, you look in the Middle East and you see things are sort of hot and then they're cooler and hot and cooler. But what you're describing sounds to me like the end of that quiet period. Is that what you mean?
Yes, and I'm sorry, you did ask about hotspots, and I forgot to answer that part. You just saw the Brazilian election. It's joined this grouping. Serbia, Latvia both joined this grouping. The three or four big instigators, if we can use them as proxies for hotspots: Erdogan from Turkey, Kim from North Korea, Putin, Russia, and Trump from the United States. The end of this quiet period. Yes, and I asked Francis Fukuyama, the pretty well known Stanford professor, the author of the End of History, who made famous the end of history, his bad call on what happened when the Soviet Union fell apart. But I asked him about this age. Why have we suddenly gone this direction when we went seven decades without a war? And he said people simply forgot after 30 years since the Soviet breakup. A lot of people forgot what was wrong with authoritarian governments.
It's amazing how quickly we forget. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. Steve, but I know Steve Bertrand is going to have you back to continue this conversation because it's too important for all of us. We have to all remember, you know, what's gone on and what could be in our future, which I hope it isn't. Steve Levine, future editor at Axios, thank you for being with me.
Thank you.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Okay, I don't know if you guys have been following this cannabis industry boom, but there are crazy numbers being thrown around right now. And that good, good, icky, sticky Mary Jane business is right here in Illinois. Oak Park-based medical pot company PharmaCann just got bought by an LA-run firm for $682 million. Whoa, dude. That number is huge. Yeah, no kidding. It's one of the biggest buyouts the industry has seen so far. But it's important to note that this is the medical weed side of the industry, so it's not like the recreational businesses that are legal in Colorado or California. But my guess, it's only a matter of time before we have that down the road. And as if you didn't think investing in Illinois was already a good idea, just look at the Cook County Health System. They announced that they're planning to add 243 new jobs because of an addition to their 2019 budget. They're planning on 10,000 new members joining their system's Medicaid program, and they've got to be ready to serve those customers. Better dust off those resumes. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks, Orion. I'm Elise Kling, sitting in for Steve Bertrand today on the Wintrust Business Lunch. We've got front row Phyllis in with us for a quick look at what's coming up this month. Phyllis, welcome back to the program.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. So October 13th, Kansas is coming to Chicago Theater?
They are. They're actually celebrating their 40th anniversary of their hit album, Point of No Return. Ooh. You're going to get a chance to hear the album play to the entirety. And the show is over at the Chicago Theater. It should be a pretty great show tomorrow evening, right?
Oh, it should be. And then I was told that if you have any spare tickets for the Eagles on Monday at United Center, that there's a line forming out the studio door. What's with that?
That's what I've heard. Of course, going to be over. This is the second leg of their tour. And the first one, of course, sold out. There are still tickets available. They are a little pricey, just so you know. And of course, it's going to be Don Henley and Joe Walsh and, you know, Vince Gill, Deacon Frye. It's phenomenal. It's going to be over at the United Center, and they will be entertaining all of their fans.
One of my favorite DVDs that I have is The Eagles Live. Somebody gave it to me, I don't know, obviously years ago. And I, you know, every now and then I take it out and I dance around, and I don't know.
Right.
It's just awesome. Right. It's totally awesome. All right, so next week, later in the week, we've got Christina Aguilera. Is that right?
Yeah, so just think of that incredible, the most powerful female voice, and that's Christina Aguilera is back on tour. She's kind of took a few years off. She's going to be here on Tuesday and Wednesday, the 16th and 17th. And again, she's over at Chicago Theater, so you really get a chance to see her and hear her up close and personal, completely different venue than a big stadium. So definitely want to check that out.
I love the Chicago Theater for these kinds of venues.
Me too.
I mean, they're just, it is really intimate. You feel like you're not that far from the stage. And even if you're up high, you feel like you're, you know, within spitting distance, sort of.
Oh, yeah. Everything's easy about Chicago Theater.
It's great. What else is coming up this month?
So we also have something really special on October 20th. It's a 2:30 performance at Shen Yun Symphony Orchestra. So, and it's over at Symphony Center. And like I said, there's only one performance. And if you've seen Shen Yun before, we're pretty fortunate. We get it every year. It's the incredible, exquisite dancers from China. And the beauty behind the actual music is something astounding. I mean, it really is. It's just powerful and flawless. And, you know, they blend one culture with another culture. So you definitely want to check it out. Again, it's just a one performance, 2:30 on October 20th.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. I really love when you're able to combine music and dance from another culture. You just feel like it's a very different experience because you get the visual and the audio.
Oh, yeah. Nice. It's incredible. And then we also have Phil Collins coming into town. Everybody's been waiting for this. He is on tour. It's October 22nd over at the United Center, and he is doing this in collaboration with his autobiography that he released a couple years ago called Not Dead Yet.
Which is pretty nice. So, we're glad to hear that he's not because, you know, although it is close to Halloween, so, you know, you could have, or Day of the Dead, whichever you celebrate. So
Right, exactly.
And then I know you're probably going to talk about this next in a couple of weeks, but Michelle Obama, right, at United Center, also November 13th, I think?
Yeah, she is going to be here. There are still tickets available. That's going to be an amazing, just hearing her talk. And just hearing what she has to say. I mean, it's pretty great girl power,
No, I totally rock on for Michelle Obama. Phyllis, thank you so much for being with us. This is a good, I'm
thank
sorry
you.
It's so quick today. We've had a crazy show, as we always have, but stay warm out there.
You too. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. I will. You do the same. It's 12:58 on the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more in a moment on WGN.